and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome, welcome, folks. This is Chef Cal DiMercurio, and we are here at Cooking Like a Pro from off of our Culinary Yours website. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Krista.
Hello.
DiMercurio as well, and we are excited to be here. This is just so much fun to spend this hour. We appreciate you tuning in for the hour. It's always nice to get your questions as well. But you've found us at KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. And again, you can call in live. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a cooking-related question, that's a local number, 530-654-567. Again, 605-4567. And boy, I'm excited today. I'm always excited to talk about food. But me and my wife took a little journey this morning through a local farmer's market. It's kind of a little branch off of the Saturday one. It's done over in that section where by the Dairy Queen over off of Churn Creek. And I tell you, you don't have to walk around too far before you see what's fresh and in season. And so we're gonna start off with our fresh update. So we've seen tomatoes. Oh, peaches everywhere.
Tree fruit, plums, and lots of
cucumbers. And we're excited today because for this first segment, we're going to share a couple really, really cool things with you utilizing those fresh ingredients. One is going to be cucumbers done in a way that you may have never heard before. So we'll get to that in just a second. And then tomatoes. Our engineer over here can probably let you know what he thought of the soup. Yep, we're getting some whoops for the gazpacho. Gazpacho, just one of my favorite, chilled soups. Great soup that we do in the summertime when it's, like it is today, 115 here in Northern California. I'm not sure where you're listening, but it's hot here, so chilled soup.
Better than the 119 record we hit earlier this week.
Yes, we did make a record. But gazpacho, I'll just toss the mic over to my wife. What do you think about that, sweetheart? You've had my gazpacho before, though.
I've had it. It's like a salsa on steroids.
Oh, salsa on steroids. There
You can drink it. You can eat it without dipping a chip in it.
Uh-huh. And originally it was actually served with bread, with the bread actually in the bowl, and then tomatoes were added later on. It's actually from the Andalusia area. It's the southernmost tip of Spain. It was popular around the Mediterranean area. And you know where the Strait of Gibraltar is? That's the Andalusia area. And then right on the other side of Africa would be Morocco. So that right in that little area, that's where it is dated back to about the 10th century. So it started there, and then once tomatoes and green peppers were introduced to Spain back in, around the 15th or 16th century, maybe. Well, no, it would have been earlier.
It's a Spanish dish.
It's a Spanish dish, yes.
And you said it needs to be super, super cold.
Ice cold. It's one of those things that I've actually done it before where we've served it in a ice dish, like an ice carving. We did it for one of our Olympic team events. But it needs to be ice cold and served in an ice cold dish. I would even serve it with a chilled spoon. It's just something that the colder it is, the more refreshing it is. And so we picked up some ingredients and all fresh right out of the garden. Actually, to be honest, most of those came from Mom and Dad's garden. But we had fresh tomatoes and cucumbers.
Walk me through, because I was taking a nap while you made it.
Yeah, well, those are diced up, and you allow the juice to come out. There is one little secret that I do, and this recipe is available. So where can they find this recipe?
They can find it on culinarilyyours.net.
Oh, yeah, so they can go on there and again, pull it up. But the one thing it has, the ingredients that go in there, there's a little bit of onion. I would go with a white onion, or you could perhaps use yellow, red even. And it just depends how hot you want it. And then a variety of really just spices. And the main broth of it is would be tomato juice. But what I always use is spicy Bloody Mary mix.
Where do you get that?
Everywhere. Everywhere vodka is sold. But yeah, to make a Bloody Mary with vodka and Bloody Mary mix. And they make a mild one. It's more like just tomato juice. And they make some that they're called loaded. So they got a little bit of zest and a little bit of kick.
Well, it wasn't too spicy for me, and I'm not very good on spice factor.
Well, what that does is the juice gives it the soup. Okay, it would end up being closer to a salsa because it would be thicker. It'd be almost like a tomato cucumber salsa. But anyway, get that recipe, folks. Get that recipe. And again, one more time, where you can get that at Culinarily Yours?
CulinarilyYours.net.
Sounds great. And then I also want to talk about another ingredient that we see in there, and it was cucumbers. Okay, so what I did, like I normally do at the restaurant, we look around, okay, what are we going to do for soup? What are we going to use for salad? What are we going to use for vegetables? And I was a little bit long, meaning I had more than I needed, of cucumbers. So I peeled these cucumbers. They were a regular cucumber, with the kind of the harder skin.
The waxy type
of
skin.
Yeah, yeah. And they actually put a shine on there, a wax on there. You don't want to eat the skin on those things. It's just hard. If you want to make a pickle or something, then use an English cucumber. Use one that has a skin on it that you can eat.
Now, okay? What about an Armenian cucumber? The ones with the real bumpy skin.
Yeah, those are fine, too. The skin's edible on those, plus they're hard to peel. But so we just take these cucumbers, we peel them, cut them in half lengthwise, and then scoop it out. So it's going to look like you have a boat.
So you take all the seeds out of the center.
All the seeds out of the middle, and then you just slice those up however you want to slice them up. Now you're going to saute those cucumbers with a little bit of fresh garlic and a little bit of fresh shallot. Maybe a tablespoon of shallot, teaspoon of garlic, a medium hot pan. Saute those cucumbers. Once they start to get tender, you're going to add a little bit of cream. You can add about a quarter cup of heavy unsweetened cream, and then some fresh dill, as much dill as you want. And I've served these at the restaurant where they've enjoyed them so much, but they're like, what is this? They have no idea that it's a cucumber, and they're absolutely delicious. And the poor cucumber gets kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Regulated
to the cold.
To a garnish on the side of your salad. Right? Well, why not just instead of sticking it in your gazpacho, you can also use it as a hot vegetable. And they're absolutely delicious. Again, so you just want to peel those things up and cook them. Again, just a simple splash. You can even do a touch of, well, I probably wouldn't do too much acid. Okay, but you could do a little vinegar. But again, cooked cucumbers.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a weird question at you. Can you grill a cucumber?
Can you grill one? You could grill it if you took the seeds out of it, because the challenge is the skin and the seeds, you can get some bitterness to that. I actually know people that before they make pickles, they'll brine the cucumbers, brine it to pull out some of that bitterness. And then the burp, I always burp with cucumbers. Raise your hand out there if you burp with cucumbers. Not if you're driving, but if you're not driving, raise your hand. Because they make me burp every single time. You can take the seeds out. Take the seeds out, and that should help with your burpiness.
Well, that's why an English cucumber, especially the Burpee brand, makes a burpless English cucumber.
I know. Well, why would you not want to burp, though? Burping is just one of the great joys that our bodies, one of the body sounds that we get to make. It's probably there's a lot of sounds that guys make that probably we probably don't need to talk about on a cooking show. But again, if you do have any questions, please give us a call at local 530-605-4567, or you can text her. Now they can text questions. Why don't you explain that, sweetheart? Because you're the tech person.
Okay. So we just launched this as an official podcast last night. It's on the major streaming platforms for podcasts, and you can go to that podcast and click on a link that you can send us a text. So you can go to cookinglikeapropodcast.net. That's all one URL, cookinglikeapropodcast.net. And there's a button. You need to do this on your phone. You can click, and you can text us your questions.
All right. Sounds great. You know what we're going out with? A little bit of John Denver. Who remembers John Denver? All right. Let's bring that one on. All right.
bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning and out in the garden, get your ripe ones, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forgot all about the sweating and the digging. Every time I go out and pick me a big one. Homegrown tomatoes, what would life be without a homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Come celebrate the 40th anniversary of the veteran-owned sandwichery at 1341 Tehama Street in downtown Reading. This mom-and-pop restaurant has been serving up delicious, quick, and fresh, made-to-order sandwiches with generous portions at a great price for 40 years. Enjoy a club sandwich, pastrami corned beef, a Californian with turkey, avocado, and cheese, an egg salad sandwich, roast beef, chicken salad, and I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. They also have vegetarian sandwiches and much more. Plus, hot dogs and homemade soups, potato salad, and big bakery-style cookies. Sandwichery is also a destination featuring unique World War II decor with inside dining and outside shaded patio seating. Sandwichery, celebrating their 40th anniversary this July. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 2 at 1341 Tehama Street in downtown Reading. Sandwichery, dine in or take out. Call 530-246-2020. That's 530-246-2020.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Bullfrog. Now, you're probably wondering what it is that a cooking show is going to talk about that's related to Jeremiah being a bullfrog. Well, we do have a couple of things. And actually, apparently, Jeremiah has wine, right? Because well, I help him drink his wine.
I haven't listened to the words that closely.
Well, the reason we did that little jingle coming back, and again, this is Chef Cal and my wife, Krista DiMercurio at Cooking Like a Pro. Thank you for tuning in to KCNR 1460 AM and again, 96.5 FM. If you have a question, you can give us a call here, local number 530-605-4567, and you can even text us a question. I want you to explain to them how to text a question.
On our brand new podcast, we have cookinglikeapropodcast.net, and they'll bring up a page, and you can click on the button on your phone, and you can send us a direct text.
And you can listen to it that
yes.
way, right? Okay, yeah, so you can
yes.
listen to
we
it that way.
We are now on Apple
well.
And Spotify, so everything okay. that we say here will be recorded and released on podcast okay. in case you miss what we said tonight.
There you go. We'll get the archive going. And, yeah, so you're driving home, but now you're already home, and you're sitting in your car, but it's hot, and you don't want to waste the gas, keep your car running. So pull it up on your phone because you were listening in your car, and then you can go in your house and get cooled down. So Jeremiah was a bullfrog. So the word sauté, the French, remember the French have a different word for everything. And sauté comes from the verb sautier. And the word sauté means to jump. It means to jump like a frog jumps. So when I train people, which I've trained thousands over the years, the sauté means the food is jumping in the pan. Now, do you remember, sweetheart, how I taught you how to sauté? Why don't you walk through the sauté training?
All right. You take a piece of bread. And it should be toasted, probably?
Yeah, toasted.
Yeah, okay, toasted, because you got to have a stiff, dried-out piece of bread, not a flimsy, limp piece of bread.
And trim the corners.
Trim the corners off so it's more roundish. And you use that to try and get it to slip to the edge of the pan and then flip back over like you would an omelet. So you start by practicing with a piece of bread. And then you keep advancing.
Yeah, then the house gets dirty after that. Okay, what was it? Remember what we used the second time?
Beans and then rice.
Beans and then rice. So
keep getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, so a small handful of beans and rice in your pan. And what you're doing here is you're trying to just get muscle memory in your wrist. And I would, if you're right-handed, if you're right-hand dominant, you should learn how to saute left-handed. Because when you're cooking, you're sauteing with one hand and you're adding the ingredients with usually your dominant hand. Left-handed is great. But then you take that small handful of beans or rice, maybe a quarter cup, and you just practice flipping that. Practice getting it to the far edge of the little egg pan. You're holding onto the handle, flip it back towards yourself, and then just keep doing that. And as it bounces around all over, maybe do it in the kitchen where you can sweep up. But anyway, that's saute. That's saute, and it's frog. Again, frog. Like to jump. And saute is one of the cooking methods that we use, generally it's going to always be used for very tender items. They're going to be used for items that are going to cook fast. And a lot of the things that we do, we'll put a light breading on them. So I wanted to talk about that because breading is just one of those areas where a lot of people have challenges, right? So when we're breading, we always go dry, wet, dry. If you can remember a few key things from the shows, dry, wet, dry would be one of them. So dry, wet, dry when you're going to bread something. All right. So how about you, Chris? So I've got some, well, not veal. We used to do veal, but let's say we got some nice pounded out cutlets of steak and we're going to go ahead and bread those. How would you bread those?
Well, what you've taught me is the dry is usually like a flour.
Very good.
Your flour. And then your next wet is going to be usually egg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you usually add a little milk to the egg or any other liquid component?
Yeah, something to keep it from being, you know, what a little slimy. You know, something to break up the egg white.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Back up. Now, the first flour component has to have a little seasoning in it usually, right?
It can. Yep. Or you can season the product itself. You can add seasoning to the flour, or you can add seasoning at the very end when you cook it. So it's kind of up to the individual person.
Okay. So either season your product or put some seasoning in the flour. Then you go to your second pan and then dredge it in the egg.
Egg, very good.
And then you go to a third pan. You got three pans lined up, each with different components. Flour, egg, and the third one will usually be a panko.
Panko, Japanese breading, yeah.
Which can sometimes have coconut in it and different nuts, et cetera.
Well, yeah, we did that. What was that your mom
coconut
likes?
Almond chicken.
Yeah.
That was my birthday this year. Oh,
coconut almond chicken. So there's just a variety of ways. We used to do a halibut with macadamia nuts that were in that outside breading. Just a beautiful, beautiful dish.
Potato flakes.
Yep, potato flakes. Potato flakes, if you're going to do a potato encrusted. So anything that's dry, but again, it's dry, wet, dry, because you want that. I don't know how many times you've perhaps eaten, maybe even at a restaurant, where the breading is coming off. That's because it's not being breaded properly. And breading is something that I know we've gone over that. I don't know if that's edited and up on our website, but
if not,
we'll get that up pretty quick. But it's the process. And then this stuff is sauteed, so when you saute, you want your pan medium hot. So if you could do something for me while you're listening to this, imagine you're sitting in front of a stove and you got a saute pan with a little bit of oil in there, and you hold your hand about 12 inches, 10 to 12 inches above your flame, with the pan underneath your hand, and then without the pan underneath, it should be about the same amount of heat coming off.
If your pan is not hot enough.
If your pan's not hot enough and you've got the oil in there, then all you're doing is saturating your food with oil, so you're adding calories, you know, galore. So it's a sauteed is actually an extremely healthy way to eat. So is deep frying. Deep frying gets a bad rap, but the reality is, if you're deep frying at, you know, 375 degrees, which is what you're supposed to, the food starts cooking immediately. And plus, there's no place for the flavor to go, so it stays locked in. So if I take a beautiful piece of cod and I put it in flour or dredge it lightly and then dredge it in some like a beer batter or any type of a light batter. One of the best Asian batters, matter of fact, is really just what is that we do with cornstarch and soda water? Or actually, soda water, flour, even better. Soda water and flour. It makes it light and airy. Have you ever been to a Japanese restaurant where their tempura was like really lightly colored, mm-hmm. almost white? Well, that's what, they didn't put any butter or any egg yolks or anything to get any color off that.
So how far in advance can you do your breading? Can you hold it? Does it need to be immediately right before you put it in the pan so it doesn't get soggy?
Yeah. No, you can definitely hold it, but if you're holding it, just don't stack it. When you go to stack it, stack with the parchment paper in between. Just little patty paper is what we call it in the restaurant business. But then it keeps the moisture from one getting to the other.
Can you do it like an hour before? Can it just be 15 minutes?
You can do it the day before if you're that good at it. Yeah, just get a good breading on it where it's nice and dry with the panko and you're ready to go. And then, so you saute it on one side. You see it starting to brown around the edge. You flip it over, nice and golden brown. And if you're going to deglaze, now would be the time to do it. And deglaze is the term we have for getting all of the flavor that's in your pan, the pan that you just flipped your protein over in this case we're doing a nice beef cutlet, and we're going to flip that over, and we're going to deglaze it. And in this case, let's say we're going to do a Marsala. So we're going to hit it with a little Marsala wine. That meat's going to cook super fast because it's nice and thin, maybe even pound it out so it's nice and tender. Remember, we only saute very tender items. Okay, that's why we saute fish. That's why we pound out things before we saute them. And then once the meat is cooked, remove it from the pan. Now we're going to throw in our garlic and shallots. We're going to throw in some mushrooms, maybe a little demi glace, and boom, there you go. You got beef marsala or beef cutlet marsala, or go make it scallopini, or make it any number of the sister sauces. Remember last week we talked about mother sauces? Do you remember how many there are?
Oh, I think there's, what, five?
And the color?
White, blonde, brown, red, yellow.
There you go. Yellow is hollandaise. You got them. You got them, yeah. And last week we talked about which mother sauce?
Oh, remind me. My memory doesn't go back that far.
Last week we talked about red because it's the red sauce that you use to make barbecue sauce. You take a red sauce, which is tomato-based sauce, just simply tomatoes, and you're going to add brown sugar, mustard, and one other ingredient?
Vinegar.
And now you have barbecue sauce. And we gave out all the, and you can get those barbecue sauce recipes. How many did we do? We did about 10.
There's about 10 recipes.
Yeah, that you can actually go to the store, buy yourself a nice inexpensive barbecue sauce. Casey, there's a ton of them out there. And then those recipes, we enhance them with different ingredients. And when we enhance those, for example, I know there was a ginger one where you sauteed a little bit of ginger up first and added it to it. There were a variety of them, but you can get those by going to our website at culinaryyours.net. And that's free. There's a free barbecue packet that we did for last week with 4th of July. We started our program on the 3rd.
None of those recipes are yours. One of them's mine.
Oh, really? Which one's yours?
Mine is the quick one where you take ketchup and salsa to make a quick barbecue sauce.
There you go. If that's what's in the fridge, folks, that's what's in the fridge. Remember, some days it's just you open up the fridge and the fridge kind of whispers. I'm going to start calling you the refrigerator whisperer, right? So you open up the fridge and it's like, okay, what do we got and what can I make? And you know what? By listening to this show, folks, I'll tell you this here, that you're going to get so many tips and tricks on how to open up your fridge and be able to do something really cool out of that, because that's why cooking is fun. It really is fun, and it should be fun.
We do have a barbecue sauce question. Do you want to answer it now or after the break?
Sure. Go ahead. I'm here.
All right. So you can text us your questions at cookinglikeapropodcast.net, and one of them just came through. She says that she's not using fruit or sugar these days, trying to improve her health, and she's trying to make a good barbecue sauce or a glaze, and she's trying to add allulose, but the sauce is not thickening. So what do you do?
Well, the allulose is in that sweet component that she wants to use. It's just going to need viscosity, right? Viscosity, we call it like mouthfeel. How it feels in your mouth when you eat it. It's got that velvety, that creamy mouthfeel to it. And you get that by thickening something up, by tightening something up. And in this case, since you can't use, you're not going to use flour or cornstarch or any other sugar, I would suggest using xanthan gum. Xanthan gum is it's a cold food stabilizer, but you can cook with it. It's something that works great, something you can get at the store. It's a little bit pricey, but it goes a long way. So Xanthan, X-A-T-H-A-N, again, X-A-T-H-A-N, Xanthan gum. And it's just something that, that works great. It's a great item to have in your pantry. And, I highly recommend you grab some. All right. Break at the bottom. We'll be right back.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens.
Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
I'm Italian, okay, so I do have to confess, I think when you're Italian, you start drinking when you're five, I'm not sure, I'm not saying that's good, I'm not recommending that, I'm not actually saying that happened, but I am Italian, so we know that's true.
So all of these peaches that we found at the market this week, that could go into that red wine and make a sangria.
Yeah, sangria. There you go. Yeah, red wine.
There's Do you add anything to sangria, like any sparkling water?
Yeah, usually there's some citrus and something carbonated. You want something that is nice. I mean, you can use something like club soda, perhaps, a little bit of something to give it a little bit of sparkle. Because remember, sangria is one of those things where you're taking wine and you're adding juices and ingredients to it for basically more of a refreshment. So it's something you're going to drink cold. It's something you're going to, most likely, I would drink it over ice. You know, I know we've made sangria before, but yeah, and also if you get a lousy bottle of red wine, you can add stuff to it to make it taste better. Wine is one of those passions that I have as well, not just because I'm Italian, but, I actually ran a winery for a couple of years, in Napa Valley, California, and it's such a great accompaniment with food. You know, and what, especially once you learn how to do it. And we're going to be choosing different things. If you have any questions again on food and wine, anything along those lines, or questions about food in general, again, you can call us here local at 530-605-4567. Again, 605-4567, or you can text those questions to cookinglikeapropodcast.net. Again, cookinglikeapropodcast.net. And so we're going to pick wines today. I'm going to talk a little bit about Merlot. Now, Merlot is one of those wines. It's a red wine. The grape itself is what we call a varietal, right? So Cabernet is a varietal, Merlot is a varietal, Pinot is a varietal. What's your favorite red varietal, honey?
Oh, I'm more of a white wine drinker.
Oh, geez, okay.
But I would probably go with a Merlot.
Merlot, yeah.
It's more of the middle ground, calmer, more accessible wines, I guess you would say, for a beginner.
Yeah. Well, more fruity. More fruity. Mm-hmm. So what it is for a Merlot, you want to, those are the Merlots that that I personally like come from further up north. Because you want the grapes to have a slower, longer growing region, because you want the grape itself to become more complex. And it does that as it grows. Everything gets more flavor to the point where it's, like in the case of wine, it keeps getting flavor until it's a raisin. So, and also remember that it gets sweeter. So sugar plus yeast, which is either natural or added, sugar plus yeast equals alcohol, right? So the more sugar in the grape, the higher the alcohol is going to be. And most wines run around the 12 to 14%. You can get them a little bit higher. Perhaps.
Now, is the late harvest that's been on the vine longer going to be sweeter than when it's picked earlier?
Yes, it is. Just like eating a grape versus eating a raisin. Raisin is going to be quite a bit more sweeter because it's concentrated.
So that's my answer. I like late harvest reds.
Yeah. Well, I remember going out in the vineyard, and you pick a grape and you put it in what's called a refractometer, and you look at this little gizmo. It's about the, I don't know, maybe it's as round as a quarter and maybe 4 inches long. It's cylinder in shape. And you smash the juice on there. Then you look at it. You have to do it on a day where the sun's out, and it will tell you what the Brix content is. Brix is the measurement that we use for the amount of sugar. So Merlot is going to have a little higher sugar content. But also what a Merlot is going to do is it's going to give you what we call a fruitier, a wine that's a little more fruity. So I think that's something that you would like, something that's a little more fruity.
Yes, definitely something a little more sweeter.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you're going to get out of Merlots. And I'll notice it from owning restaurants for the last, you know, 4 decades, that Merlot became popular when people quit calling it Merlot. And this was somewhere in the 90s. Somewhere in the mid-90s, people started calling it Merlot, and I am telling you, that's when it happened. People quit calling it Merlot, kind of like when they learned how to pronounce Pinot Noir, or they learned Gamay Beaujolais. You know, once people learn, because wine can be a little intimidating.
Very
and
nice.
It shouldn't be, but it can be, and you want to get the right wine. So, again, any cooking and food wine-related questions you have, shoot those over to us. Even if it's later on in the week or something, we'll certainly answer those questions. Again.
Well, and we do have another free download on culinarilyyours.net for a beginner's wine guide of how to pair food and wine.
Yeah, and that has a lot of recommendations on food, on wine and cheese, which wine and cheese is... again, we have a couple minutes left here, but when you're looking at, actually a little more than that, when you're looking at it matching anything, food and wine is what we're talking about now, you do it in two different methods. One is similar, meaning similar flavors. One is contrast, meaning opposite flavors. So I'm going to take this wine, and let's say I have a white wine. You mentioned white wine earlier, and it's a Chardonnay. And the Chardonnay is done maybe with a little malolactic fermentation in the process, so it's coming out with this buttery flavor in the wine as well. And it's an earthy wine. It's been in a barrel, so it's seen some oak. So maybe it has a little nuttiness to it. So I'm going to take that Chardonnay, which has butter and nutty flavors, and I'm going to serve that with a halibut, with a cream sauce to match the butter, and maybe encrusted in some, we talked about encrusted, maybe some walnuts or some macadamia nut. So now when you take a bite of, taste the wine, taste a bite of the fish, taste the wine again, boom! Boom! I mean, boom! It's just like the match is there.
The flavors come out
even
more.
And you can go with an opposite, like Asian food. They use a lot of chilies, a lot of capsaicin in there when they're making their chilies or they're making their Asian food, and that's why they'll use a plum wine. You know, plum wine is very sweet, but you can get an order of plum wine when you're at an Asian restaurant if you're going to get something that's hot. So
again, back to the Merlot. What would you pair that with?
Well, you know, it would depend. So you're going to I'm going to taste this wine. And there's nothing wrong with that. Taste the wine when, and then, perhaps ahead of time, maybe cork it, you know, earlier that day, maybe when you get off work or something, and then go to the grocery store, and maybe you taste that wine. It's like, you know, it's fruity. I'm getting some berries in there. So one of my favorite dishes, I might even mention this last week, is duck. When we talk about duck,
Yeah.
We talk about doing duck and kind of just a nice sear on one side, flip it over, go ahead and season it, remove it out of the pan, let it slow down, make sure you've cooked that skin and that fat, rendered that down so it's nice and crisp. We're going to slice that, and we're going to add some blueberries to the saute pan. And maybe a little bit of demi-glace, maybe a little bit of brown sauce. But this blueberry flavor that I'm going to lace over top of my cooked duck is going to make that a marriage, and that's going to be a similar match, right? Because you got the fruity flavor of the wine and the fruity flavor of the blueberry actually in the sauce.
Now, can red wine go with white meat?
The general rule always with wine, always number one rule,
drink what you like.
Yeah, drink what you like, okay, because you have to kind of start there. But if you're trying to match something and pair something, you just look for those components, taste the wine. I know there are places, I think BevMo does it, like a wine tasting. If you go to a place where you can taste wine, Mosley's here locally in Redding, California, also does this as well periodically, where you can taste the wine and come up with those flavors, those components within the wine that you can find and say, oh, I'm getting this out of it. I'm getting raspberries, or I'm getting strawberries, or perhaps I'm getting an oak flavor out of this, or I'm getting, you know, whatever the flavor happens to be, there's a myriad of flavors. You can actually get something it's called a wine tasting wheel. And it has just hundreds of different flavors that you can pick up. And then you come up with that match, and that's what takes it to the next level. Folks, I mean, you know, yes, I'm enjoying this food. Yes, I'm enjoying the wine. But now I'm enjoying those together.
Well, the interesting thing with those wheels is sometimes you can't pick up anything out of it, but you see the suggestion. You're like, oh, I never thought of it. Yeah, I'm picking that up out of that.
Yeah, you might get tree fruit. It's like, well, what kind of, was it apple? Is it pear?
Plum.
If it's a pear, is it an Asian pear? Yeah, is it a plum? What are the flavors that you're getting out of that? So that's kind of how you start. And I know that we've done this in the past, and we'll be offering this again, food and wine pairing done through our website, and we do that on a Zoom call. So we'll let you know the next time we do that. And those are training sessions to help get your palate to be able to taste things. And it's just like practice for anything else. You're practicing running the mile, you start out jogging, and before you know it, you know, you're under 5 minute mile. But you have to start, and you have to practice. Well, food and wine pairing or food and wine matching is the same thing. It's something that takes practice. So.
Yeah, I don't think I drank red wine before I met you, to be
quite
honest.
Okay. Well, it was last week my wife did wear her shirt, IBM. Why don't you tell them what IBM stands for?
Italian by marriage.
Italian by marriage. Okay, so that's what happens, right? You end up just becoming an Italian by marriage because we're Italian, like loud Italian family.
Yes,
you know, with the 27 conversations going on. Took a while to get used to that, but after 20 years of marriage, I mean, I think you're getting
hands flying everywhere.
Yeah. We speak with our. I couldn't do this show if you tied my hands behind my back. I'm serious about that. I'm just sitting here wailing and frailing in here. But anyway, food and wine pairing, similar or contrast, Merlot, a little bit of a sweeter wine. It's, again, going to be one of those wines that's going to be nice and mellow. As far as white with white and red with red, that is kind of a standard way to maybe approach it. But again, you drink what you like, and then once you start making those matches and you write those down like, oh man, that Chardonnay was so good. And you know, when you go to a restaurant and you're thinking about, you know, I'm thinking about having this, do you have a wine open that I could taste? Ask them. Yeah, send you an ounce over. Say, you know what, I'd like to have a Chardonnay. Do you have a Chardonnay by the glass that I could taste? And if they're a restaurant that really is hospitable and really, you know, has a real heart towards hospitality, they'd be more than happy to sit there and let you go ahead and have a little sip so you can get that match.
And if they have flights, flights are the great way to learn.
Yep, flights where you can try four or five at a time. So, all right, well, there you go on your food and wine pairing. We'll be back in just a moment. Again, this is Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Kyle DiMercurio and my wife, Krista
DiMercurio.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Like a big pizza pie that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing the tabella.
Oh, there you go. All right. That Dean Martin, you know, he always brings me back. Yeah. Amore, amore. And actually, that song actually probably reminds me more of Lady and the Tramp than almost anything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that one. Yeah. It sounds like the Lady and Tramp song.
There you go. All right. So I think that one's Bella Notta. Bella Notta. Well, we got
very similar.
All right. So, hey, so this last segment, and thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate that. Those of you that are still out there, again, this is Chef Cal, my wife Krista DiMercurio. We're at KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. Again, if you have a question, you can give us a call. Maybe go ahead and save that in your phone in case a question pops up in the middle of your mind in the middle of the week, and type that into your notes and give us a call here. We're here every Monday at 5
Wednesdays.
O'clock.
Wednesdays.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I say Monday. Wednesday.
You said Monday. Today's Wednesday.
Wednesday. So that's why you're here, Mom. You're here to, you know, keep keep me online. So 605-4567. Again, 605-4567. And I want to talk a little bit about restaurants, just because that's what I do and what I've done. And there's just a variety of things. And I know that this is an interesting subject, can be a sore subject as well, but I wanted to just talk a little bit about tips and to get kind of an understanding of that, because the word tip, T-I-P-S, was originally designed to mean T-I-P-S, to ensure proper service, to ensure proper service. So I think that you kind of think that going in line. And then you generally start, the average, industry average is 15%. I know as a restaurant owner, I would look at the tips, and if, for example, somebody had a $100 check, for their bill for the night, and if they were left $5, I would ask the server, what happened? Were they unhappy? Or if I seen the opposite, that maybe a $20 or $25 tip was like, hey, great job. But that tip is what it is. And again, it's to ensure proper service. Was my water refilled? Was I offered water? Did they ask me what the special is? There's just a lot of pet peeves that I have. And for one, I always like to know, what's the soup? I don't know. I may or may not have it, but I do want to know what it is. You have a pet peeve at the restaurant? You walk into a restaurant?
One of the things that started to bug me is, well, in our area, you couldn't pour water without the customer asking for it.
Oh, yeah.
That was a rough one. It's, you know, I like my water delivered, fresh, cold. Offer me some lemon or some cucumber at the top. And they stopped serving water at some point without the customer asking. It became a law. So, unfortunately, yeah. That wasn't the service problem. Yeah, it was the city's problem.
Well, it became because of the drought and stuff. And I'll tell you, the amount of water that goes into a glass in restaurants, you know, hey, that ain't nothing compared to, you know, someone that forgets their garden hose and it just keeps running and running and running. And, you know, what's interesting is I seen this stat the other day that we drink more bottled water in the United States than anywhere else in the world. And we have the best water that comes out of our garden hose than anywhere else in the world.
So it makes you think of the garden hose. Did you when you were a kid?
We always drink out of a garden hose.
Yeah, I'm still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, yeah, exactly. Still made it. So, but anyway, but those are the different things. Now, for example, on just the round up the water, discussion here. I want ice cold water when I sit down. Now, maybe, you know, ask if you want it refilled or not, because you don't want to waste that water. I don't. But, you know, I do think that water, first off, when you go walk into a restaurant, customers need something to play with. I've always said that, and even in my when I'm doing consultant work, is where customers need something to play with. You can sit there and watch a guest, and they'll sit there at a table and just be staring at each other until something comes to the table. I don't care whether it's water. I don't care whether it's bread. But something needs to get on that table, and that's when the discussion starts. And that's why we go out to eat, right? That's why we eat at home. We eat, and why not take something that you do more than probably anything in your life other than sleep. You probably eat. So why not take that, and that's what this show is about, and take it to another level. Take it to a higher level of enjoyment, a higher level of just having fun in the kitchen, having fun cooking together, having fun in just a variety of ways. But why not do that? Why not take advantage of this life we have and enjoy it to the fullest? And for example, when we were walking through the farmer's market this morning, you know, my head's just kind of exploding as I'm looking at all these beautiful peaches and pluots and
I was looking at the bread stand.
You're looking at the bread stand? Oh, that pie.
I think it's pie meets bread.
Pie meet bread. Pie meets like bread. I don't understand the title, but they
well,
do
it was
great,
two businesses immersed into one.
Oh, well, they do a great job. They do a great job over off of Turing Creek.
But meaning playing with your hands, taking a nice crusty bread and dipping it in olive oil and balsamic.
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong with a nice sour. And just, again, remember, you judge your bread by the crunch, right, the texture, especially when we're dealing with sourdough. But there are just a variety of things that happen when you go out to eat that really should be happening at the table. I mean, you should be greeted, you know, well. It starts at the front door. Sometimes you walk into a restaurant and maybe there's a sign that says, please wait to be seated. But, you know, how long do they really need to wait? How long should they have to wait? But then a smile a smile, even when something's going wrong and you're busy and they can't get to you, just a smile. Or the acknowledgement that you're sitting there, oh, I'm sorry, folks, I'll be back in just a second. I got a room, you know. So, but just acknowledge people's tone of your voice. Tone of your voice is always important. And I always teach, you know, don't slouch. When you're sitting there taking someone's order, you know, stand with your shoulders back and your chest out and, you know, be that appropriate distance from the table. I mean, if you're talking to older folks, then you need to be close enough so they can hear you, you know, be able to pronounce it, enunciate, but also explain it. You know, I mean, that's a part of it. I'm going out to eat. I could be eating this meal myself and paying about a third the amount of money at home. So instead of doing that, I'm here supporting this restaurant, whichever restaurant it is, and also the tipping is the process of that on supporting of the servers. Now, you know, I heard a promise that if we get a new president in there towards the end of this year in November, that he had stated as a campaign promise that he would not tax tips. Oh, God, I love that.
That would be really nice.
Got to vote for the guy. For nothing else. I mean, but you know, again, yeah, no, because it just doesn't make any sense. I'm giving somebody, you know, $10, you know, for doing a good job, bringing me my lunch and being on top of it. Why can't they keep the $10? I mean, doesn't the government have enough?
Well,
and we're in California, folks. If you're listening from somewhere outside of California, we're in California, so it's a
part of the server is entertainment. I mean, you hear that from Dave Ramsey's, you know, eating out is more entertainment than the food. It's that experience of being out and being waited on.
Yeah, well, you know, it's dinner and a movie. That's something that I've always seen, dinner and a movie. What did our parents do back in the day? They went out for dinner and a movie. Now, people don't go out to movies very often anymore. I don't even know if they have movie theaters all over in every town anymore. But dinner and a movie. But what's the movie? The movie can be a movie. But the movie can also be great service. It could be great wine service. It could be, you know, a cheerful server. A cheerful server can completely make a meal.
Or
break it. Yeah, make it or break it. We're trying to be positive. Okay. Cooking Like a Pro is an optimistic show. All right? We're going to stick with optimism here.
All right.
But again, all those things that happen at a restaurant, your tips, again, to ensure proper service. And that's the way to look at it. And more often than not, servers are paid a pretty much minimum wage. Unless, well, again, we don't want to talk about California and minimum wage for fast food service.
Well, since we're talking about tips, how about the automatic button? Because everybody's using these handheld devices for you to check out your own cash tips and stuff. And they've got this button that says you want to do 5%, 10%, or 15%.
Yeah, you know, that's that bothers me. I'll be honest. It bothers me because it's almost like forcing. Like if I go get a coffee, and the coffee costs me, you know, $3 or $4.
$6.95 anymore.
Yeah, and then they say, "What do you want to tip? $1, $1.25, $1.50, whatever." I don't mind tipping, but to ensure proper service, what was the service? The service was just getting my order right and handing me the cup. And now they're saying, hey, you want to tip $1? You know what? So, yeah, I mean, generally I will because I see it from a little different perspective from owning restaurants all this time. But that is something that I think because of COVID, it really, really took on. And now it's pretty much everywhere. But they also have one that says custom tip and just custom tip it. You know, 15%, whatever it is that they deserve. My grandpa always left $1. Grandpa Joe. My grandpa Joe always left $1. I don't care if he had a cup of coffee or if he had, you know, a $100 meal. He left $1. You know why? Because the grandpa, $1 was $1. $1, $1 meant something. It was $1 earned. All right. So grandpa would leave $1 and then after he would leave, I would throw a couple more bucks on the table when he wasn't looking because, you know, I own restaurants and anyway, but restaurants are out there for us to enjoy ourselves for birthdays and special occasions, anniversaries and stuff. And I have, one quick story. I remember Dee Mercurio's. There was a couple that came in And they were a little shabbily dressed. Dean McCurl's was kind of a higher-end restaurant. And they came in, and I went over, and I said, hey, how you doing, folks? You celebrating anything with us tonight? Because most of my restaurants, people were celebrating. And they said, they came from a local town, Cottonwood, right down the road. And they had had a yard sale to raise money to come to my restaurant for their first wedding anniversary. Now,
let that sink in.
Yeah, and that was 40 years ago, but those are the memories that restaurants are allowed to create. So as a restaurant hospitality industry, why don't we promote that, right? Why don't we be hospitable, have that servant's heart that it takes when you come out and greet somebody to really make it worth their while? Yeah?
Sounds good.
Yeah, so we appreciate you tuning in again, folks, with Chef Cal and my wife Krista, Dean McCurio, to Cooking Like a Pro. Again, thank you very much. God bless you out there. Stay cool. Stay safe. Stay,
the Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.